Hi dear Fox, here I am with a very special director. I tracked her through several festivals and now I'm finally back in Berlin and here I get the interview that I wanted to do so long with her, Ildiko Enyedi. Hi Ildiko.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So your film, it premiered in Venice this year. It's called Silent Friend. It's a very special story that almost seems like a mirror piece to an earlier work of yours, which won you the Berlinale main prize, Body and Soul. Now, Body and Soul is about the connection between humans and animals. And now we have your new film, Silent Friend, Humans and Plants. Would you like to talk about the development of this film, the ideas?
This is mostly about connecting, about the beauty of it, about the difficulty of it. And in that sense, yeah, it is quite similar to most of my films. Somehow it is also about the beauty of science and scientific research. It is quite attacked today. The autonomy of academia, of freer research is quite attacked as well. And somehow in this film, you see humans who are longing to connect also with each other, but mostly to plants. And for that, they need an interface. This interface can be a scientific experiment. So they are experimenting. They are experimenting at the turn of the 20th century, in the 70s and 2020. And somehow a scientific experiment always acknowledges the wish to connect, but also the difficulty to connect. You need very clumsy machines, tools, just to reach out to the other being and try to understand something of it. This other being can be a plant or an animal or a human baby, as in our case, because one of our heroes, played by Tony Leung, is a neuroscientist working with babies with whom we cannot have a verbal communication. So we just can guess what the hell is in their mind.
How much of the story is based in actual scientific research?
Everything. And it's quite easily traceable on the internet, in TED Talks, lectures, or in books. You can find all on what we show in the film. Actually, contemporary plant experiments are much more wild than what we show in the film. It is not our fantasy. It is quite proved and already established scientific research.
Did your inspiration come from this scientific research, or did it come from the human stories connecting to it?
Actually, when I was a teenager, and it was in the 70s, there were many sort of border crossings in human experimentation, in how we perceive the world, just by walking barefoot in the grass, just by wearing soft t-shirts instead of very strict clothes. Through psychedelics, we were experimenting with human perception, also what we call reality, also how it would be nice to live our life without being focused on achievement and being the stronger one. That was also the period when the first plant communication experiment happened, what you can see in the film with the original equipment. And it fascinated me and it drew my attention to plants. But first of all, to the fact that if we don't perceive another being, other being's reality, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. This was exciting and this remains exciting for me until today, that there are quite complex, beautiful and equally valid realities to our one. Because we are so different, we need the help of science to get closer to these other beings.
Did you ever have a special connection to a plant or a plant-like organism?
I live in the middle of a big city. I'm not especially good with plants. I don't have green thumbs. So I need the help. I need the interface. But they are fascinating beings. In 2020, I think during the first lockdown and in 2020, I was stuck in an apartment in the middle of a town on the fourth floor, and I have a study, teeny tiny room, but it has big windows and they give to a cherry tree. If you remember, it was the spring of 2020. Day by day, I saw these wild changes on the cherry tree. Somehow, when you are forced to slow down, you realize how quickly actually changes happen in nature and how much this other being in the that kissed a cherry tree just enjoys life. Actually, that happened with me, not just by this bookish intellectual curiosity, what I had before, but on the sensual level, that the garden in front of our house is full of beings who actually enjoy life a lot, and they have more chance to enjoy it when we are not around.
Do you believe that humans and plants would be better off if they had a more distance relationship because man is too harmful to the planet and nature, or that we could live in symbiosis?
I think it's just a shift of perspective, what would be nice, but I really, really don't want to propose, see, suggest anything in this film that was important for me from the start. It is not an activist film at all. It just wants to give a sort of sensual experience, and then everyone is doing with it what they want. But actually, if you are on the top, if you think that your senses and your world is the default and you are in control and you have to control, it's quite a lonely feeling. And if you just descend to the level of everyone else, every other being, and you just feel to be part of some bigger entity, it's actually quite homey. Just for very selfish reasons, it's much more pleasant to perceive the world around you from this perspective, from the perspective of equality.
Your film plays in three different time periods. What made you decide on the specific time periods?
These are actually shifts in our perception of reality, because among other things, this film is also about the volatile, the ephemeral nature of what we call reality. We perceive it as something which defines us, which surrounds us, and we are placed in it, and that is objective. The truth is that we are creating this reality, so it's not from outside in, it's from inside out. It depends on us, on our view, on our focus, also on our senses, on our physicality. It's a sort of social construct. In 1908, the first cracks appeared on this sort of very naive but very solid belief of 200 years, this encyclopedist, which says that if we work long enough, then we can put every being in a little box, we can make lists, and we can control the world, we can know everything. So that was the first sign that perhaps it's mission impossible. And the 70s, it's really period about rethinking the frames of our reality. In 2020, we were forced to rethink it. It was a sort of globe-wide human experiment.
An essential theme of your film is women in science and their struggle to get into science and be respected and acknowledged. What does this issue mean to you, and does it also reflect on your own experience as a female director in a field that is definitely male-dominated?
Because a tree has a much, much longer lifespan and time perception than a human, it was sure that this won't happen in one day or one year. And from a long time of a tree's life, I took these samples, these different moments, and by chance, it's the 20th and 21st century, and the 20th century was the century of women. It was a very radical shift in women's position in society. In my opinion, not because it is more nice to be kind to women, but because humanity as a whole just couldn't spare half of the creative energy of mankind. We were needed. Among many other things, this is also one element in the film where you can feel how differently the humans of a certain era perceive the so-called reality. So Greta in 1908 is met with a massive refusal and has to survive in an ocean of male presence. In the 70s, Gundula is a very independent and strong woman, but somehow you can feel that she has to prove it, that she is not some girlish little being, but she is someone who should be taken seriously. In 2020, the neuroscientist played by Tony Leung is very naturally asked the mentoring of a fellow scientist, if she's female, even if she's much younger than him, because on the field he wants to experiment, she is at home and she is someone who can lead him and help him. These are just colors to show that we exist in a very changing world. At the front page page of the script, there was a quotation from a British neuroscientist, Anil Seth, who is working with the nature of consciousness. Not just human consciousness, but all living beings have some sort of knowledge that who they are, what is their world. And this quotation was, we are hallucinating all the time. And when we agree on the nature of our hallucinations, we call it reality. This is the heart of the film. We try to approach this with different tools, and the very changing position of women, what does it mean to be a woman in these different times, is one of them.
How did you find Luna Wiedler and Toni Leung for the roles, and how was working together with them?
With Luna Wiedler and Lea Seydoux, I made my previous film, The Story of My Wife, where very traditionally grown-up man, a sailor in the 1920s, tries to understand another perspective, a female perspective. The whole film is about his difficulties because his upbringing is about control, is about what it means to be a man. It means to control the other. With both actresses, I had a wonderful experience. I had Luna in mind when I wrote the role of Greta, and I asked Lea for a quite important but small role because I wanted an equally powerful presence on screen as Toni Leung's presence. They are communicating in the 2020 episode. It was the first European film for Toni Leung, so we were the exotic beings for him. It was a really beautiful experience, not just for me, but for the whole team. Everyone knows what a great actor he is, what a very special presence he has, but he's also a wonderful ally, wonderful colleague who has eyes not just for me. He's communicating not just with me, but with the whole team. He sees, he knows how important, from gaffer to runner, everyone is on a film set. It was especially graceful and beautiful to see him discover this team.
And what about the plans? How did you find the right tree and the right geranium to shoot?
The geranium is the same. Of course, the tree is growing. It's 120 years. So like in a biographical film, when you have a child actor, then a teenager, and then most of it with a grown-up actor, we had three ginkgo trees with more or less the same attributes. If you see when Greta is standing beside the tree, it is about 1 meter wide, the trunk. Hannes' tree, when he climbs up, is much more robust, but it's not comparable to the really wide, gorgeous, enormous tree of 2020 on Leung, which can be circled by 5 people. We were looking in the database, because there is a database for the most important ginkgo trees in whole Europe, and finally we found them in different places, all the three, but in Hungary.
Now that you worked on this film for quite a long time, do you already have a new project you like to mention?
I have, but I'm a superstitious person, so I wouldn't mention, but it was such a pure joy to work with this team, mostly professionals from Cologne, that anytime I'm ready to work again with the German team.
Thank you so much, Judith Guarnieri.